For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention, friends. Are you ready to embark on a journey into the unknown this Mother's Day? Prepare to dive into the depths of your family's history with MyLifeInABook.com. Each week, MyLifeInABook.com sends intriguing questions, uncovering the thrilling tales of your mom's past, and then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. From daring escapes to nail-biting encounters, her life becomes an epic adventure waiting to be explored. This Mother's Day, give the gift of excitement and intrigue with MyLifeInABook.com. It's a thrilling ride through your mom's life that you won't want to miss. I gave this to my mom last year, and let's just say I didn't know my mom as well as I thought I did. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code Shane at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code Shane for 10% off today.
Okay, engine stop. We copy you down, Eagle.
Welcome back, friend. On July 20th, 1969, American astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first men to step onto the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
An incredible achievement made possible only by developing technology and science. The world watched on as those first steps were taken and history was made. History, however, is not confined to awe-inspiring events and positive achievements. Frightful and desperate events also get marked in history. Events that are involuntarily graved in memories due to pain and loss. These events are the opposite of happiness. They change people's lives permanently in ways no one would ever wish for. As the end of July 1969 drew near, two communities in California were living in trepidation. Benicia and Vallejo were small cities, with populations now frightened of the darkness and the horror that could happen under its veil. There had been two shocking and brutal attacks on young couples within 7 months. Three young people had lost their lives, and one had their life changed forever. All had faced an unknown gunman who had came out of the shadows and opened fire. There was a killer on the loose who was ruthless and bluntly cold. He attacked in the dead of night when the moon was the only light emitting from the sky. He looked for couples spending time together in secluded spots where he could creep up quietly before unleashing his terror. The last attack took place on July 4th, Independence Day. The noise and cheers of celebratory fireworks provided the perfect backdrop for this killer's plans. After firing multiple shots at Darlene Farren and Michael Maggio in the parking lot of Blue Rock Springs in Vallejo, the killer slowly and gently left the scene, driving his own vehicle. But he wasn't finished yet. Just 40 minutes later, the killer made a phone call to the Vallejo Police Department. He told the stunned operator in a monotone voice that he had shot and killed victims in Blue Rock Springs, and he was responsible for the murder of the teens the year before at Lake Herman Road. He wanted to claim his work. But this, once again, wasn't enough for this killer. He wanted to take his desire for attention and need for control another twisted step further.
It's not often the world of serial killers crosses over into cryptography. Murder and ciphers are not generally friends, but this killer had a game to play. Almost 1 month after the attack at Blue Rock Springs, letters were hand-delivered to three local newspaper offices. With each letter was a code, a cipher. It was a secret formula only the killer knew. "Solve the cipher," he said, "and my identity will be revealed." Over 2,000 years ago, Roman dictator Julius Caesar is said to have used encryption to send secret messages during the war. He wanted to get information to his army generals without the enemy being able to understand what he was telling them. Caesar used a substitution cipher, where each letter of the alphabet is substituted with a symbol instead. It became known as the Caesar cipher. In handwritten envelopes post-stamped July the 31st, 1969, and marked, quote, "Please rush to editor," end quote, the San Francisco Examiner, San Francisco Chronicle, and the Vallejo Times Herald received three letters almost identical to each other.
"Dear editor, I am the killer of them two teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman and the girl lost 4th of July. To prove this, I shall state some facts which only I and the police know."
The killer provided details of the Lake Herman shootings in December 1968 and the Blue Rock Springs shootings on July the 4th. His letters closed with a threat to publish his cipher by the following afternoon, or he would go on a kill rampage. It was an ultimatum with deadly terms attached. This individual wanted control and wanted to feel he held power. Each letter contained one part of a large cipher. 136 individual characters made up of 8 columns and 17 rows on a single slip of paper. To look at, it was an uncomplicated rectangle of symbols that didn't mean anything, but they did mean something. Add these three ciphers together, and a large cipher containing 408 characters and 54 different symbols gave the full, final message the killer wanted to convey. This cipher became known simply as the 408 cipher. The challenge set by the killer was to figure out what each symbol represented and find the solution. The killer had rolled the first dice. The newspapers immediately passed the letters and ciphers on to the detectives investigating the murders. A scramble ensued to find cryptography experts who might be able to solve this horrifying riddle. The 408 cipher, it was thought, was the same kind of substitution cipher Julius Caesar used during conflicts. It worked by knowing what the secret system is for switching the letters. These kinds of ciphers are often broken and figured out by looking at the frequency of the same symbols. Which symbols are usually in pairs, for example, and matching those to potential letters in the English language that also often come in pairs. Laborious, repetitive, and immensely frustrating, such methods are time-consuming but provide a starting point. Solving a cipher is a determined effort of trial and error and a resolve to never give up. The San Francisco Examiner published their section of the cipher the same day they received it. The San Francisco Chronicle published an article entitled, quote, "Coded Clue in Murders," end quote, with their cipher a day later. The Vallejo Times Herald decided to publish the full 408 cipher with the headline, quote, Mystery ciphers not coded yet. End quote. The mystery of a killer who sends coded messages gripped local areas and beyond. Everyone wanted to know what this cipher said and who this killer was.
The murders at Lake Herman Road and Blue Rock Springs had shaken those who lived in both areas. Just 4 miles apart, residents couldn't help but wonder whether the killer was someone living among them who knew the area. People avoided the two crime scenes long after the police tape had been removed, and officers were no longer in attendance. Those areas remained quiet and unfrequented. No one wanted to be where young people had lost their lives so violently and by someone entirely unknown. Along with the ciphers published in the local newspapers, reassurances from Vallejo Police Chief Jack Stilts were printed within the stories. In the role for just a year at the time of these killings, Stilts said that this killer was being hunted. But while he was still on the loose, people needed to be vigilant on who they let into their homes. He also appealed directly to the killer. He did not believe the person who carried out these brutal murders was the same individual who had written the letters and ciphers. He asked for more facts to prove the letter writer was the killer. It was a call that would be answered sooner than he thought. On Monday, August 4th, just days after Stilts' comment, the San Francisco Examiner received another letter, 3 pages long. The opening 2 lines are now infamous across the world.
Dear editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. In answer to your asking for more details about the good times I've had in Vallejo, I shall be very happy to supply even more material. By the way, are the police having a good time with the code? If not, tell them to cheer up. When they do crack it, they'll have me. On the 4th of July, I did not open the car door. The window was rolled down already. The boy was originally sitting in the front seat when I began firing. When I fired the first shot at his head, he leaped backwards at the same time, thus spoiling my aim. He ended up on the back seat, then the floor in the back, thrashing out very violently with his legs. That's how I shot him in the knee. I did not leave the scene of the killing with squealing tires and a racing engine as described in the Vallejo paper. I drove away quite slowly so as not to draw attention to my car. The man who told the police that my car was brown was a Negro, about 40 to 45, rather shabbily dressed. I was in this phone booth having some fun with the Vallejo cops when he was walking by. When I hung the phone up, the damn thing began to ring, and that drew his attention to me and my car. Last Christmas, in that episode, the police were wondering as to how I could shoot and hit my victims in the dark. They did not openly state this, but implied this by saying it was a well-lit night and I could see the silhouettes on the horizon. Bullshit. That area is surrounded by high hills and trees. What I did was tape a small pencil flashlight to the barrel of my gun. If you notice in the center of the beam of light, if you aim it at a wall or ceiling, you'll see a black or dark spot in the center of the circle of light, approximately 3 to 6 inches across. When taped to a gun barrel, the bullet will strike exactly in the center of the black dot in the light. All I had to do was spray them as if it was a water hose. There was no need to use the gun sights. I was not happy to see that I did not get front page coverage.
In our ongoing journey dissecting real-life mysteries, I've found a perfect companion in a game that not only captivates, but also lets me step into the shoes of a detective in the glamorous 1920s, June's Journey, as someone who's delved deep into the game, playing through the intriguing scenarios of June Parker. I can personally vouch for its immersive experience. In June's Journey, you unravel the mystery of June Parker's sister's murder. Each scene is a visual and intellectual puzzle, with hidden clues scattered across beautifully crafted locations. What I've enjoyed most is the depths of the storyline. Each chapter peels back a layer of this thrilling narrative, revealing danger, mystery, and romance. Besides the allure of solving mysteries, the game lets you design and customize your own luxurious estate island. Building my estate has been a delightful escape, offering a creative break from the intense narratives we tackle on the podcast. For those of you who enjoy the blend of history, mystery, and narrative depth we explore on this podcast, June's Journey offers a chance to live out those elements in a beautifully interactive setting. June needs your help, Detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android, and join me in this ongoing quest to uncover hidden truths and solve complex mysteries. This killer had created a name for himself, a name he wanted to be known by, the Zodiac. It was clear he was reading about his crimes and the ensuing investigation in the local newspaper. He was incensed at not being front page news and police getting details wrong about his attacks. He teased at the police regarding his 3-page cipher, was arrogant and egotistic. He enjoyed the idea of people running around, trying to solve his puzzles and catch him. His reference to a witness being drawn to him in his car, when the payphone he was calling police from after the July 4th attack began to ring, remains an unknown. The police reports do not mention such a witness. He was irritated that police made out that he could see silhouettes at Lake Herman. He needed to highlight the cleverness of his method. How he had taped a flashlight to his gun to aim and fire directly at his innocent victims. His letter suggests he was narcissistic and cocky. He thought he was clever and no one would ever catch him. He craves attention, fear, and a spotlight for his work. Almost as if he should be rewarded for his planning and performance. All of these things were beginning to shine through. Combined, these made the Zodiac a very dangerous and unpredictable individual who had already proven his capability and appetite for murder.
The next break in the case against the Zodiac came from a married couple who lived near Salinas, a small town about 123 miles away from Vallejo. Sitting at home on Sunday, August the 3rd, Donald and Betty Harden saw the full 408 cipher and accompanying story in the Vallejo Times Herald printed the day before. Donald was a history and economics teacher at the North Salinas High School. He had no formal training in cryptography, but puzzles were a hobby, and he had a few books on the subject. His wife, too, found these puzzles intriguing. It was the story that came with the cipher that captured the Hardens. Solving a puzzle in a newspaper had no outcome other than a personal satisfaction in completing the challenge. This, however, was a message from a serial killer. A killer whose identity, location, and plan on where to strike next were all a mystery. He was also a killer who claimed that his real name could be found in the answer to that cipher. This was the catalyst for what would become 20 hours of almost solid work trying to solve it. As time ticked on, they realised they were achieving their aim. By Thursday, August the 7th, they were confident they had done it. The Hardens had solved the Zodiac's 408 cipher. At 6:35 a.m. on August the 8th, a detective at the Vallejo Police Department received a phone call from San Francisco Chronicle reporter George Murphy. He told the detective he had a letter from Donald and Betty Harden, who claimed they had solved the cipher. They had sent in their solution, which revealed the words behind the code. They were cold, and they were chilling.
I like killing people because it's so much fun. It's more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something gives me the most thrilling experience. It's even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is when I die, I'll be reborn in paradise and all the I've killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my name because you'll try to slow down or stop my collecting of slaves for my afterlife.
The last part of the message was garbled and had not been deciphered. In some places, words were misspelled, either on purpose or an unintentional error. At the end were 18 random characters that the couple could not decipher. The Zodiac's name was not revealed. The hardened solution was checked and verified by the FBI and cryptography experts. All agreed they had uncovered the message the Zodiac intended. Years later, in 1998, Donald Harden gave an interview in an episode of America's Most Wanted, where he spoke briefly about how he and his wife cracked the code.
Look for a similar repeated pattern. And the major thing was that we felt that the word kill or killing would appear in his code, and the word I, because he had an ego.
The words of the Zodiac in his cipher portray a zealous killer who gains immense pleasure from the act of murder. Taking the life of another human being was a thrill and an excitement. The message spoke of his victims becoming his slaves in the afterlife, a possible motive for why he was carrying out these vicious acts. But this killer liked to play games. Being able to have faith in his words and acceptance they were speaking the truth was impossible. This extra mysterious layer of coded messages that were sitting on top of this brutal, multiple murder case added new dimensions to it. This was 1969. Communications from serial killers were not the norm. In fact, this was the first time a killer had made contact like this at all. It was behaviour that baffled and confused those in charge of catching this man. This killer's boldness and desire to taunt and tease was bewildering. The Zodiac was eagerly putting himself forward and forefront. He needed to be credited, and fear was driving his inability to stay quiet. It was an exposure risk he didn't have to take, but this killer was fearless, and it would seem relentless. This would not be the last that was heard from the Zodiac.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.